Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter. In your Schofield Bible, page 1311. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. These verses we'll read responsively. And let's please rise to in order to read the Word of God together. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Let's please pray. Father, thank you that you've again led us to this place. You've given us strength enough to be here. You've given us means to get here. You've been so good. Thank you for the refreshing that we've already experienced. Thank you for that which you have in store for us through the preaching of thy word. We'll be accountable one day for this specific time in our lives, for this message which we're about to hear. May we, with all the carefulness of a Christian who's earnest about thee and thy word, listen, and may we comprehend your message for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Usually I can tell when a guy's going to quit. But usually around here, when you're doing your best, that's when you quit. And so he got up where I thought, now he's gonna. That's the good. He's quitting now. And then he decided to get better, so he got better and he's quitting again. And I thought for a while I wasn't going to have time to preach tonight. Now I know how you feel. Now I know how you feel when I close my sermon over and over and over and over again. That's good, John. Very good. John comes up with some of the greatest songs I've never heard before. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the basis of rejoicing in sorrow. The basis of rejoicing in sorrow. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would speak to me and through me to the hearts of the people. I believe tonight I have a wonderful, wonderful asset and aid to my people if they will listen. And I pray that you'd help me to help them. That's all I ask for. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you not to turn to it, but I want to read just a little bit of what you read a while ago. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers gathered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, don't forget this word now, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And then he goes on down later to say, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then it says later, wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness, through manifold temptations. The Apostle Peter is saying to some people who are defeated, discouraged, and persecuted, he's saying, I want you to greatly rejoice. And then he says, the reason I want you to greatly rejoice is because you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Don't get scared. I do not believe in the doctrine of predestination for one second. I think this, the elect of the whosoever wills and the non-elect of the whosoever wants. But I want to talk to you, and I believe if you listen carefully, I think you'll be encouraged. God has something, a little mental exercise through which He can put you and that He can give to you that will help you to rejoice in sorrow. He said, I want you to greatly rejoice. Now the word rejoice means rejoy. So what he's saying there is, I want you to have joy. Then I want you to have more joy. I want you to rejoice. Then he said, I want you to greatly rejoice. So he said, I want you to have joy. I want you to have joy again. And I want you to greatly have joy. And he said, I want you to do this in the midst of manifold temptations. Here's a group of people having it rough. In fact, the Bible says they're in the midst of manifold temptations. The term manifold temptation means many trials and complicated trials. It means, manifold means exactly what it says, manyfold. Complicated, not the piece of garment that's smooth, but folded up. So what he says is, these people are in the midst of many and complicated trials. Now he comes to these people who are in the midst of these many and complicated trials and admonishes them to greatly rejoice. Now what in the name of common sense can cause a person in the midst of a trial to rejoice? But more than that, in the midst of a great trial to rejoice. But more than that, in the midst of many great trials to rejoice. What could cause a person to rejoice greatly in the midst of many great trials? Peter tells us how. He says this. Now follow me carefully. He says to the people, go back to the foundation of the world to see what God did for you then. What he says. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Then he talks about something about that. And then he says, wherein? Wherein greatly rejoice in manifold trials, in large and many trials. Wherein greatly rejoice? Rejoice because you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And he discusses what that means. Now, let me say what you're supposed to do. Here is a couple having financial problems. And you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You're unemployed. Recession is here. God tells you how you can sit down and greatly rejoice. Here's a lady who's been forsaken by her husband. And I can't think of anything any worse than for a woman to be forsaken with two or three or four kids to rear by herself by some lustful, sex-crazed fool. But here she is. She's by herself. And by the way, there's probably two or three dozen of them right here in this room tonight. And you sit there in your house and you look at the children and they can't have what other children have. And you know how in the world you're going to feed those little mouths and those little stomachs. Or how you're going to pay the rent so you can keep the children in this little place where you're living now. God says there's a way that you can greatly rejoice. I could go on and try to describe your circumstance. But when you have many and strong trials, God says there's a way to greatly rejoice. Let me explain what I mean. When I was a little boy, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, my mother used to tell me that Jesus loved me. I sang as you sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I sang, Jesus loves the little children. all the children of the world, red and yellow and black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And my little mother used to sit by the light of a kerosene lamp and the heat of a wood stove, an outhouse in the backyard, and a well off the back porch. And my mother used to say to me, "Son, we don't have the clothes others have. We don't have a nice place to live like others have. We don't eat the nice good food like others eat. We don't have the niceties that others have. But son, Jesus loves you." What a wonderful thing. I was taught as a child that Jesus loves me. Though I will not belabor you with the story that you have often heard, I'll not forget ever that Sunday morning when my mother and I went to that first little City Baptist church we had been to. And a lady named Mrs. Bethel met us at the front door, took me to the Sunday school classroom, and set a little barefoot boy on her knee. Khaki breeches, patches on the knees, and a little white t-shirt. And she hugged me to her breast and told me that Jesus loved me. I'll never forget how I felt when the first person outside my mother told me that Jesus loves me. How many times have I said this? Of all the things that I've said in the over 32 years I've pastored this church, I'll bind you one thing, the one statement I made the most in this pulpit is, God loves you. I know no better news than that. God loves you. If I walked behind this pulpit every Sunday morning and stood here and said for about 10 minutes in different ways, God loves you. If I came back on Sunday night and paraphrased it but said about the same thing, God loves you. If I came back on Wednesday night and you reminded the same way that God loves you, you would not have wasted your time in coming to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, but love lifted me. I'm saying I know no better news than that. God loves you. Now, one day, by the way, my mother and I used to play a little game when I was a little boy. And my mother would say, "Do you love me?" And I'd say, "I love you, Mommy." And she'd say, I said, "Do you love me?" "I love you, Jack." And Mother would, she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "I love you, Jack." And Mother would say, "How much do you love me?" And I'd say, That many. I'd say, "How much do you love me?" And I used to love to hear say it, "Son, I loved you before you were ever born. I loved you before you were ever born." And one day I found out in John 17:24 that Jesus loved me before the foundation of the world. I mean, boy, you talk about and the Bible said, Peter said, when you get discouraged and get defeated, you have manifold temptation. He said you want to come out of it. Just stop and dwell a while on the fact that before there was ever a United States of America, God loved you. Before there was ever a George Washington, God loved you. Before there was ever a Benjamin Franklin, God loved you. Before there was ever a Reformation, God loved you. Before there was ever a Apostle Paul, God loved you. Before there was ever a King David, God loved you. Before there was ever a Moses, God loved you. Before there was ever a flood, God loved you. Before there was ever an Abraham, God loved you. Before there was ever an Adam and Eve, God loved you. Before there was ever a mountain to rise above the horizon, God loved you. Before there was ever a valley, God loved you. Before there was ever a rill or a stream or a lake or a river or an ocean, God loved you. Before there was ever a bird to fly and inhabit the sky, or a fish to inhabit the sea, or a beast to inhabit the earth in the wilds, God loved you. I'm saying, go way back. PA man. Hey, PA man. Hey, PA man. I want this mic turned on, please, sir. And I'm simply saying, before there was ever a PA man, God loved you. He loved you. I always hate to break up their checker game up there. I hate like everything to do it. But here's what God says. God said, you ever get discouraged? Then quit thinking about your problems and think how long He loved you. That's what He said. He said, you ever get blue? He said, depressed? Then quit thinking about what you're going through and realize that God loved you. Way back yonder, before there was ever a world, way back yonder, before there was ever a man, God loved you. Now, it's a wonderful thing when I found out right here when I was a boy that God loved me. But one day, I found out that God loved me before the foundation of the world. And so God, leave this on, please. So God comes to you tonight and came to this church. And God said to the people in Cappadocia and other places through Peter, He said, you get discouraged? You have manifold temptation? He said, quit dwelling. And that's your problem. You sit there and dig yourself deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You want to get out of your depression and out of your despondency? God said, okay, then realize I love you, but realize I loved you before the foundation of the world. I found out when I was a boy that Jesus died for me. I found out that Jesus went to the cross. On the cross, He bore my sin. As a little lad, not quite 11 years of age, in the summer of 1937, as you know, I knelt on a little bridge type thing leading out from the back of the Fernwood Baptist Church to the backyard where we're having evening services in the summertime. And I knelt on that little bridge and I looked up and I realized that Christ had paid the penalty for me on the cross. Praise God, Jesus died for me. Praise God, I don't have to go to hell. Praise God, my sins are gone. Praise God, my name is written in heaven. And I realized that Christ took my place on the cross. And I decided then and there not to trust my goodness, not to trust my church, not to trust my baptism, not to trust the communion, not to trust my denomination. I decided then and there I was going to trust what Jesus did for me on Calvary as my hope for heaven. What a wonderful thing. Ah, but one day I learned a blessed and glorious truth. I learned that before there was ever a world, way back over here, before there was ever a world, that in the mind of God, Christ died for me. I learned that God looked down through the annals of the future, and God saw there'd be a little boy, almost 11 years old, in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. And God looked down and said, I'm going to create that little boy. And that little boy, one Sunday night, is going to trust me as Savior. And so God said, but that little boy is going to be a sinner, though. And that little boy is going to need a Savior and need somebody to pay for his sins. And Jesus, the Son of God, before there was ever a world, before there was ever a star, before there was ever a sun, before there was ever a moon, before there was ever a planet, before there was ever a constellation, before there was ever a Mars, before there was ever a Jupiter, before there was ever a moon, before there was ever the Milky Way, before there was ever the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper, God said, that boy's going to need a Savior. And Jesus said, I'll go to earth. And I'll pay the penalty for his sins. And brother, at that moment, the stamp of God's seal was placed upon it. And in the mind of God Almighty, Christ died for me before the foundation of the world. Talk about losing your salvation, Buster. He died for me in the mind of God before there ever was a world. God said, you're getting discouraged. Recession coming. You got some problems and heartaches. Get your mind. Quit, call off your pity party. Get your mind off your problems. Get your mind off your burdens. Quit your whining. Quit your complaining. And stop and realize that the great God of the universe loved you before the foundation of the world. And stop and realize the great God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords and Creator of the universe, He, in the mind of Jehovah God, Calvary took place before the foundation of the world. He comes to this church. God says to this church, you're going through it. And they were. The church in the days of Peter and the people to whom Peter wrote in his first and second epistles suffered like few people suffered in the entire Bible. And Peter writes them and starts off saying, wherefore rejoice,
Rejoice. Greatly rejoice. While you are going through your trials, while you're going through your great trials, and while you're going through many great trials.
I remember the first time I ever learned about justification. What is justification? Listen carefully. See a courtroom. Turn this up just a bit, please, right here, would you please? See a courtroom for a moment, please.
See the judge on the bench. See the attorney for the defense. And see the attorney for the plaintiff. And hear the trial taking place. And then here's Jehovah God and you're on trial. And God says, as the judge of all the universe, this is my sentence. Not guilty. But he goes beyond that. He says, though you've done something wrong, the price has been paid for your wrong, and I am hereby in the courts of eternity declaring you as holy as Jesus is. As righteous as Jesus is. I've done this time and time again. When I go out soul winning, I'll walk up to an unsaved person and I'll put his name over here. We'll say John Doe. And I'll put Jesus' name over here. And I'll say, okay, Mr. Doe, tell me some bad things about you. Did you ever tell something wasn't true? Yeah, okay, you're a liar. All right. Mr. Doe, did you ever take anything that wasn't yours? Yes, sir. Okay, you're a thief. Mr. Doe, did you ever lose your temper? Yeah, okay, you're a hothead. And then we'll let these lines here represent things you don't want to tell me tonight because it'd be sort of embarrassing. Mr. Doe, this is your record. Now, Mr. Doe, tell me some good things about Jesus. He's kind. He's loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. And we'll let these represent other great things about Jesus. I said, Mr. Doe, you know what Jesus did? When he went to the cross, he scratched out your name up on top of your sins and wrote the name Jesus there on top of your sins. And God pronounced him guilty for your sins. And if you'll trust him tonight as your Savior, he'll take the word Jesus here and write the name John Doe up here. And God will see Jesus as a liar, a thief, and a hothead. He'll see you as kind and loving and merciful and gracious and long-suffering. Now, justification is when a holy and righteous judge sits on the judgment and says, justified! Your record is clear. Not one sin is recorded against you. You're justified. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I heard about that, I like to have a spell. When the pastor told me that God would not charge one sin against my record in heaven, I almost had a spell and had a fit. But praise God, one day somebody told me something better than that. They told me that according to Romans 8:30, that before the foundation of the world, I was justified. God looked down and saw me in the future. And God saw that I was a sinner. And God saw that I was going to hell. And God saw my only hope was for Jesus to pay my penalty. And God in his own mind said, Calvary taking place now in my own mind. And Jesus, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the Bible says. And blessed be God, before there was ever a Texas, before there was ever an Indiana, before there was ever a Michigan, before there was ever a Wisconsin, before there was ever an America, before there was ever an England, before there was ever a world, before there was ever a moon, before there was ever a star, God, in his foreknowledge, saw I was going to trust him, and God said, I'm going to justify him someday. Go ahead and do it now. Why don't you shout? I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed, they're all in the past. They've all been forgiven, for he holds me fast. But I can beat that. Bless God, the Bible said, I was justified from the foundation of the world. How can I lose it? I feel sorry for you up and down, in and out. Do good, go to heaven. Do bad, go to hell. Bless God, you've never done any good. Bible said you're righteous and like filthy rags. Only hope you've got to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. And that moment God justifies you. But more than that, He says, I saw you were going to do this. My foreknowledge saw that you were going to do this. So back then when I saw you do it, I went ahead and justified you. Won't you think about that instead of griping so much about your problem? Won't you think about that? That's what God said to the churches here. He said these people being persecuted and suffering, going through trials, not just one type of a trial, but many types of trials, and heartaches and burdens and sorrows. He said, let me tell you something so you can greatly rejoice. Get your mind off your trials and realize I loved you. God loved you before the foundation of the world. Get your mind off your trials and realize Jesus died for you in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Get your mind off your trials and realize that you were justified before the foundation of the world. I'll never forget when I came across the great doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing ever thrilled me as a new Christian like the second coming. And they told me that someday the trumpet would sound and the angel, the voice of the archangel would fill the sky. They told me that I would rise and meet my Savior in the air. And they told me that at that time I would have a body just like His. Hey, look at my body tonight. I started to say it's not much, but it is much. God pity you little undernourished, skinny, puny, Bible-rejecting Christians. God says, open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. We've got too many Christians that eat like this. Please pass the cheese quarter pounder. We do not know what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Boy, I tell you, I almost had a spell when I heard about that. But then one day I learned something. I learned that way back yonder, before there was ever a world, before the foundation of the world, according to Romans 8:30, I learned that He looked down and saw there's going to be a fellow named Jack Hiles be born in the Holy Land. About 40 miles south of Dallas. About 130 miles from Palestine, Texas, where Jesus grew up. And God saw that little boy. And God saw that little ghetto-bound boy. And God said, he's just going to be a sinner. And God said, I love him now. God said, I can't wait till he gets there to love him. I love him already. Every mother in this room understands that. I love him already. And he said, before the foundation of the world, I loved him. That isn't all. He said, before the foundation of the world, I realized he would need a Savior. And the Savior, Jesus said, I'll go. I'll pay the penalty. In the mind of God, he was slain for me before the foundation of the world. And God said, that isn't all. I'm going to justify him right now. He's going to get justified. No, he is. Might as well go ahead and stamp it now, declare it now. But that isn't all. Did you know before there was ever a Garden of Eden, before there was ever a Mount Sinai, before there was ever a Mount of Olives, before there was ever a Garden of Gethsemane, did you know that God already had my glorified body picked out? How do you think I can fall from grace, you unlearned people? How do you think I can fall from grace? I already got my wedding gown prepared. Wake up, Brother Jorgensen. Here. Let me put a pillow behind your head here. Man, love, you're justified too. I think. I'm saying, before there was a world, He loved me. Before there was a world, He died for me. Before there was a world, He justified me. And before there was a world, He had my glorified body done, picked out. You gripe. I don't feel good. My husband's 15 minutes late for supper. Wouldn't eat without him, honey. I'm saying, well, we're having a hard time. God comes along through His Apostle Peter and says those poor people suffering persecution like few Christians did. He said, when you get down at the bottom and you get depressed, He said, take a trip back before the foundation of the world. And He said, realize He loved you then. He died for you then. He justified you then. He glorified you then. Shortly after I got saved, my pastor told me my name was written in heaven. I'm reminded by the Savior, and all you charismatics, listen to this. He said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. I'm going to cast out demons. Hallelujah! 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 Dirty, bring it back up, pack a little box, bunch of slider rib. My Bible says you want to have a spell, don't have a spell because demons are subject to you. My Bible said have a spell because your name is written in heaven. And one day I learned something better than that. I learned before there was Dr. Jorgensen had his first nap. I learned that God looked down and said, there's going to be a little boy in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. I love him already. Jesus is going to die for him. I'm going to see it and have it registered already. I'm going to justify him. Think I'll go ahead and stamp it, justify it now. I'm going to give him a glorified body at the rapture. Think I'll just go ahead and get that body all done up right now. And he said, when he gets saved, I'm going to put his name in the book of life. I just may as well go ahead and do it now. And before the foundation of the world, my name, Jack Fraser Hiles, was written in the blood of Jesus in the Lamb's book of life. So if you got some problems, think about that for a while. Got problems? Quit griping. Got problems? Shut up. Peter said, has the Holy Spirit inspired him? Manifold temptations? I can tell you how to rejoice greatly. In the temptations, in the trials, in the many trials. I learned shortly after I got saved that God had placed me in Christ. So one day in Ephesians 1:4, I learned that was done before the foundation of the world. I have no patience at all with you Arminian people. The height of pride and the height of egotism is for you to think you can do something to save yourself or do something to lose your salvation. It's a height of egotism. For if you do something bad to lose it, you've got to do something good to get it back. Before there was ever a world, I was placed in Christ before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. He looked down and said, when he gets saved, I'm going to put him in Christ. Now, God didn't choose me for salvation. I chose him for salvation. But because of his foreknowledge, he saw I would. And so he elected me because of his foreknowledge, not to be saved. He elected me to be the object of his love. He elected me to be the object of his death. He elected me to be the object of his justification. He elected me to have a glorified body. He elected me to have my name written in heaven, and he elected me to be in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Let me say this carefully. In Luke 11:50, we find that even our suffering was planned before the foundation of the world. Now listen carefully. I found years ago his grace is sufficient for my suffering. I found years ago he will never leave me or forsake me. But listen carefully, and I'll be through. I'm not sure if I'll be through shortly after you listen carefully, but both will happen before midnight. Okay, here you sit. Oh boy. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. It will be worth it all. And God said, I want to remind you something. Not only did I love you before the foundation of the world, listen to carefully. Not only did Jesus offer himself as a lamb before the foundation of the world. Not only did I justify you before the foundation of the world. I can't wait to get where I'm going, but I've got to take the journey. Not only did I glorify you before the foundation of the world. Not only did I write your name in the book of life before the foundation of the world. Not only did I put you in Christ before the foundation of the world, but according to Luke 11:30 it says, I planned the suffering through which you are now going before the foundation of the world. I knew you'd need it. I planned the suffering. The very trials that you have tonight were planned before the foundation of the world. God knew I'd pastor the First Baptist Church at Hammond someday. God knew this church would become the greatest soul-winning church in the history of this nation, and maybe since Jerusalem. God knew that. And God knew there had to be something to keep the pastor humble. He sure does know how to do it. If I were to get humble right quick, would you hold off? And so the very trials I suffer tonight, and the very trials that you suffer tonight, were planned by God before the foundation of the world. So I come tonight and I say, yes, I have problems just like you do. Yes, dear Lord, I think I could say I have manifold problems just like any of you do. He says, greatly rejoice. I said, what? Greatly rejoice? Yeah. Why? How? Get your mind off your problems. Go all the way back to the first. And think that I loved you. In my mind, I died for you. I justified you.
I glorified you. I wrote your name in heaven. I placed you in Christ. And I planned your manifold temptations before the foundation of the world. And I look at all of that and I say, I think I'll quit griping and greatly rejoice. Our Heavenly Father, there's not a heartache in this room tonight that you didn't know. And your plan will be carried out until the purpose of that plan is finished. Our tears will continue to fall until, according to your plan, it's time for them to be dried. But I pray tonight that you'd help us, each of us, with our own burdens and problems and heartaches. I pray you'd help us to obey the recommendation and maybe even the command of God. You got manifold temptations. But you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Therein, greatly rejoice.